Now, this is part B of more on events leading up to Pentecost resurrection. Day 42 in counting toward Pentecost. Now, it was also brought up, something I covered earlier, that there has to be a temple and there has to be sacrifices, because one of the things that shows when the tribulation begins is in Matthew 24, and when you shall see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, then shall be great tribulation. That is the start of it. But when does it start? Well, if we come back from trumpets 3.5 years backwards, we can get a pretty good idea when that is going to be, and that's the whole point of the chart with the Daniel Revelation series. Now, let's look at another point that's important to understand and gives us a clue as to when the 3.5 years begin. Let's come to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Okay, Revelation 6 and verse 1. Now, this is the opening of the seven seals, and as we saw previously, that this is authorized in heaven above by God the Father, and Jesus is the one who opens the seals. Now, Revelation 6 and verse 1. And I looked when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, like the sound of thunder, come and see. Wonder what that would sound like. And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse. Now, this is not Christ. It's answered very simply. If Christ opens the seal, does he then run down and jump on the horse? No. His white horse is Revelation 19. This is the false religion which is going to sweep the world. So another sign leading up to the end is the great false religion that's going to sweep the world. Now, it's gradually making headway bit by bit by bit. And the one sitting on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, we don't know when that is going to take place. This seal doesn't tell us. But let's look at the next one. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. And another horse went out that was red, and power was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth and to cause them to kill one another, and a great sword was given to him. Now hold your place here and come to Revelation 13. This will give us a clue. This will tell us that this second seal is the time of the beginning of the last 3.5 years. And if you're at this point, you know exactly what's ahead. Now, we'll describe that a little later. But let's come here now. Here is the beast. Here's the one described in Daniel 7, also described in Daniel 2. Chapter 13, let's read it in verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and of course Revelation 17 shows that the great waters are peoples, multitudes, nations, languages, and tongues. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So this is a satanic system. And we're going to see this is going to cover the whole earth. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. So now we find a redefinition of Daniel, the seventh chapter given here in Revelation 13. Like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, who is Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Because we know from Matthew 4 and Luke 4 that Satan has power over all the nations, and that Satan is the god of this world. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it were slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth, this is a worldwide event, was amazed and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon who gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who has the power to make war against him? So just before the 3.5 years begins, we're going to see we have not only the king of the north, king of the south, and the king of the north is going to receive a deadly wound but be healed. And also, we have the temple, we have the sacrifices that are stopped, and so all of these things are going to come very quickly once everything is set up. Verse 5, and a mouth was given to him, and blasphemies was given, speaking great things, and blasphemy was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue after the deadly wound 42 months, which is 3.5 years plus or minus some days. That's why it's listed in 42 months rather than an exact number of days. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, 2 Thessalonians 2, Daniel the 8th chapter, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven, and he was given power to make war against the saints, to overcome them, and he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this gives us the starting of it, doesn't it? Now, if this ties in with Revelation 6 and the second seal, then we have a little more framework on which to hang this 42 months. And remember, during the 42 months, we have what take place? The holy days take place. Even though there may not be the assembly of people that there would be, but nevertheless, when Jesus said, when you flee into the mountains, don't do it on the Sabbath. So someone's going to come along and give false alarm. He says, don't do it on the Sabbath. Nor in the winter. So let's come back to Revelation 6 and verse 3. Notice how closely this ties in with Revelation 13. Now, Revelation 13 gives us another time setting, gives us more details about the same thing that is going to take place. And another horse, verse 3, and when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. And another horse went out that was red, and power was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth. If we can tie this together with Daniel 11, this is the king of the north coming against the king of the south. If we can tie this together with 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, he comes down into Egypt, goes up into the Holy Land, sits in the temple, and declares himself to be God. That happens right at the beginning of the last 3.5 years. All right. If that is so, then the events that flow after that follow in the time sequence that must fit into the 3.5 years. Now let's see how that does. All right. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see," and I looked, and behold, there was a black horse, and the one sitting on it had a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice out of the midst of the four living creatures say, "A measure of wheat for a silver coin, and 3 measures of barley for a silver coin, and see that you do not damage the oil or the wine." So immediately after war, what do you have? Food shortage, rationing. Food shortage, and of course, we will have starvation very quickly. Where do we get all of our food today? How many of you have gardens that you're totally independent, don't need to go to the store? And how many of you grow enough to have 2 or 3 years of food stored away? Nobody. It's like the little girl was asked, "Where does milk come from?" "Oh, it comes from a carton." Shows how much kids today know anything about it, you see. Let's go on. Verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse, and the name of the one sitting on it was Death, and the grave followed him, and authority was given to them, those four, to them. So they come 1, 2, 3, 4, very quickly. So as soon as the king of the north comes against the king of the south, goes and stands in the temple and says, "I am God," war breaks out as a result of it. Now, how much of the world is involved in it, we'll see here in just a minute. And the grave followed, And authority was given to them over 1/4 of the earth. Now, it doesn't tell us which fourth, but this leaves 3/4 of the earth not yet affected by it. And we know from the other prophecies that the 3/4 of the earth that is not affected has to be to the north and to the east and to the kings of the east, where the army of 300 million is coming from, as we'll see a little later. So, is this the demise of Israel in the West? Is this the demise of America and Canada and Australia and New Zealand? Could very well be. Include Canada in that too. Does that make up a fourth part of the earth? I don't know, but someone could take a geographical measurement and see. Very possible. Now notice what they do. Fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with famine, and with death, and by the wild beast of the earth. And isn't it something that we have more wild beast attacks now than ever before? All the way from pythons and lizards to bears and cougars. More than ever before. So, these four come one after the other.
Because you can okay.
Comment was made, which is a very good comment, may not be the big beast altogether, because little rats and mice and bats and insects and things like that can also bring plagues and death. Another thing we'll add to it. I don't know about your town, but here in Hollister, we have almost as many dogs as people, and in some households, more. Now, what if there's no food for those? What happens to wild dogs? They attack and kill people. See, so that's another thing. So it's going to be all the things that we have discussed because this is the beginning of the end. Let's go on. Then there is always the scapegoat. Who's going to be the scapegoat? The Christians. Now, let's look at Revelation 13 again and come back here, and we will look at the fifth seal. And we will see that both of these fall at the same time. Revelation 13 and verse 4. And he was given power to make war against the saints, to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Revelation 13, mm-hmm. Revelation 13, verse 7.
You said 4.
Did I say 4?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, at least you're reading. I've been known to do that from time to time.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Now, we have the same thing here. Come back to Revelation 6 and verse 9. And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. Now, this is in vision. This is not showing that there are souls in heaven, but this is in vision. And when and verse 10, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? When does that take place? Beginning Revelation 16. All right. And white robes were given to each of them, and they were told that they should rest a short time yet until it be fulfilled that both their fellow servants and their brethren also would be killed at just as they had been. Now, how long does this go on? We don't know. Can we get some sort of time frame for these events from the first seal down through the fifth seal until the sixth seal is open? Is there some way we can do that? All right, and can we also tie this fourth part of the earth in with the tribulation against Israel, God's punishment against them? Let's come to Hosea, the fifth chapter. Let's take a look there and see if we can get a time frame that is reasonable here, which will fit into the rest of the book of Revelation and make sense. Let's come to Hosea, the fifth chapter. Now, in the New Bible, the minor prophets are one book, and it is actually smaller than the book of Isaiah, which is one book. Okay? Now, so this is why we have it on page 661, Book of the Minor Prophets, the prophet Hosea. Each prophet, we don't say the book of, we say the prophet Hosea, or the prophet Amos or Micah. Right, Hosea 5, and let's pick it up here in verse 13. Verse 13, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to the Assyrian and sent to King Contentious, another name for the beast power. Yet he could not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be to Ephraim as a lion, and as a strong lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place until they confess their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction they shall seek me earnestly. Now this is God talking to Israel. And we know that at the end time, the 10 tribes of Israel are going to be in captivity by invading armies in their own land. Some will be shipped off in other countries, but not all. You're not going to ship off, you know, 100 million here and 100 million there. You're just not going to do that. But notice how it flows right to chapter 6. Here's what Israel, Ephraim, and Israel do, and Judah. And it happens all the time whenever America gets in trouble or Britain gets in trouble or the Jews get in trouble, what do? They cry out to God, don't they? Yes. Here this time it will be real. Chapter 6 and verse 1 of Hosea. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn. Now they understand why things happened to him that it did. And he will heal us. He has smitten. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. Since a day in prophecy is a year, this is after 2 years. Now, if we're dealing 3.5 years at the end, how much maximum time do we have left? A year and a half, maybe a little less. Because it's after 2 years. Doesn't say how long after, but the next sentence clarifies this a little bit. In the third day, how far into the beginning of the third year, we don't know. But if it's into the beginning of the third year, you say if it's 30 days into the beginning of the third year, then you have 11 months and 6 months left, right? For the 3.5 years. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, let's come back to Revelation 6, and let's see something concerning Revelation 6 and the beginning of Revelation 7. And let's see if this makes any sense. I think you will see that it does make sense. Revelation 6 and verse 12. Now here's when God starts to intervene in the person of Christ. Now we will come back and look at the timing of how this is going to, the other events that will take place with this. What we're concerned right now is the approximate timing of it. So it's in the third year, how far into it doesn't tell us, after 2 years, that God begins to raise them up. How does he raise them up? Now, if there is war and their armies have been defeated, and if the saints have all been martyred, who is there to rescue them but God alone? Do we see that in Revelation? Let's look and see. I think we will. Verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked and behold, and there was a great earthquake. Now God says he's going to rise and shake the earth mightily, the sea, the land, the heavens, everything that there is. So here's where it begins. And the great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its untimely figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heaven departed as a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. I mean, this is a gigantic intervention. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the powerful men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of his wrath is come, and who has the power to stand? Now that's something. Let's go back and just think about what happened in Egypt. All the plagues that happened in Egypt are going to be repeated at the end time. Was there a time when the magicians admitted to Pharaoh that this is the hand of God? Yes. Did he repent? No. Did the Egyptians repent? No, some of them wanted to. So here, God intervenes. When does this happen? This happens, if Hosea is accurate, after 2 years and in the third year. How do we know? Because God begins dealing with Israel. Just like the Israelites in Egypt, there came a time when the plagues did not come upon them, though they lived in Goshen. Came on all the rest of Egypt. So likewise, we are going to see that God intervenes, beginning with the 144,000 and anyone else who would repent. Now, let's come to the book of Acts and the second chapter, and many people have wondered, why did Peter quote Joel? Acts, the second chapter. And why did he bring these things out on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was being given, when those things had not taken place? So here we have an amazing prophecy. Let's pick it up here, because what happened? The only thing that happened on the day of Pentecost was what? The Holy Spirit came in power as a mighty rushing wind, right? And they all spoke in other languages. Miracle of speaking, miracle of hearing. Then let's pick it up here in verse 14 now, Acts 2. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke out to them, saying, "Men, Jews, and all those of you who inhabit Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and pay attention to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet." Now notice what he quotes here. Verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and even upon my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapors of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That did not happen on that day of Pentecost. There at the temple, did it? How many were saved that day? 3,000. I think it is inspired that this is here, and we know it was spoken on the day of Pentecost and referring to the day of Pentecost. Now, can we come back to Revelation 6 and 7, and can we see where this will be fulfilled? We saw Revelation 6 where all the heavenly signs took place, right? Yes. Now, let's put together Hosea 6 in the third day, Acts the second chapter, that these things will happen before the day of the Lord. This is not the day of the Lord here. That takes place later. Okay. Now come to chapter 7 and let's see what happens. "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth." I've never been able to figure out where the four corners of the earth are. When you look at the earth on a sphere, as it is, a globe, and I've looked at it many times and I've wondered, where are the four corners of the earth? Holding back the four winds of the earth so that the wind might not blow on the earth, not or on the sea or on any tree. Now, I want you to think about the contrast of this. The heavens rip back as a scroll. The sun is darkened, the moon turns to blood, and the stars fall from heaven, and all of a sudden, after all this noise and earthquake and everything take place, whew, total quiet, still, on the whole earth. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to damage the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not damage the earth, or the sea, or the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians, the first chapter, after baptism, laying on of hands, you are sealed with the Spirit of God. So the 144,000 that we are going to read of here cannot be anyone in the Church of God today, because if you are truly in the Church of God and have been baptized and have received the Holy Spirit, you have already been sealed. These are people who have not been sealed. Question. If we are 2 years plus into the tribulation against Israel, beginning in the third year, and all of the saints have been martyred and killed, except the few who are in a place of safety, Revelation 12, are there any ministers around to do baptizing, lay hands on to receive the Holy Spirit? No, there aren't any. They're all dead. So this is why God uses this method of converting these people and giving them His Spirit. So what do we have here? We have God's personal harvest. Direct intervention and salvation by Jesus Christ Himself. Now we'll talk about this in a minute. We'll see some other parallels with it. Verse 4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. And people ask the question, I wonder who the 144,000 are. Well, it tells us. Of the tribes of the children of Israel. Do you believe the Bible is true? Yes. Do you believe that the Word of God is accurate? Yes. If it says, of the children of Israel, it means just that. Does this not tie in with Hosea 5 and 6? Where God revives them in the third year or third day? Yes. So He begins dealing in reviving Israel with the children of Israel, doesn't He? Yes. 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Now, verse 5 defines it, lest someone quits reading at verse 4 and think there's 144,000 out of every tribe. So it defines it. Wherever the children of Israel are in captivity, there are those 12,000 out of every tribe which will be sealed, wherever they are. This represents another harvest of God, does it not? Who will be resurrected, because what? There's still another year and a half left, approximately. Now, let's go on. From the tribe of Judah, put in your margin there, Zechariah 12, he's going to save the tribes of Judah first. Fulfilled, right here. 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, the firstborn who did not get the birthright because of his sin. 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. And so forth. Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and the tribe of Benjamin. Now we have also another principle working here too, which the Apostle Paul taught. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. The Jew in this sense means all the children of Israel, because all 12 tribes are involved here, with the exception of Dan, and it's prophesied in Genesis 49 that Dan would wait for his salvation. Now notice verse 9. Now to the Gentile. After these things I looked and beheld a great multitude which no one was able to number. Out of every nation and tribe and people and language was standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Now why does it phrase it this way? Because it shows that they will be resurrected to stand before the throne of God. But that does not happen until when? Until the first resurrection takes place. But this shows they are going to receive salvation. Stand before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, holding palms in their hands, and they were calling out with a loud voice to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, saying, "The salvation of our God has come." Then all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and strength be to our God into the ages of eternity. Amen." And one of the elders answered and said to me, "These who are clothed with white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" Then I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he answered, and he said to me, "They are the ones who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb." They repented, they received salvation through the experiences that they endured through the tribulation. They came out of great tribulation, and the resurrection does not take place to bring them before the throne of God until the first resurrection takes place, which is at the seventh trump. The comment was made, well, this looks like there are going to be more Gentiles converted than Israelites. Yes, indeed, you can't number them. Mm-hmm. Why would God do that? Well, down through history, there have been more Israelites converted than Gentiles, so God apparently is going to balance it out here. Now, also, another thing that is important, a couple of other things here are important. Number one, since they come out of every nation and language and so forth, and they come at the very last, we could say, minute, last year, there's no time for them to learn sacred names, is there? Okay? Just a quick clue. The sacred names for the New Testament are the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Those are the sacred names for the New Covenant. Now, all right, let's make another point. How many have been in churches where they have been told, and this started with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they got themselves into trouble, that only 144,000 are going to be saved? Out of all the time that men have been on earth, beginning with Abel down to the return of Christ, only 144,000 are going to be saved. Not so. How can that be when there's a great innumerable multitude here? Plus you have all of those going back to Abel, how many ever they would be, and through David, and down some of the kings and priests and so forth. And how do the 3,000 that were converted there on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, now you got to count those, right? You have to. All right? And then how do you account for it when there were thousands in Jerusalem who believed in Acts, the fifth chapter? Now the 144,000 gets to be shrinking down into a smaller and smaller number. Well, you see, people and ministers give these foolish kind of preaching so they can have control over people. And then they say, now you don't want to leave this church and not be one of the 144,000, would you? Oh, no. See? God is greater than 144,000. Put it that way. All right. Now, we will pick it up here next time, because we will try and fit this into the 3.5 year time frame, and let's think on it this way. Since the prophecy given in Acts 2 and the salvation, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, which then is 144,000, great innumerable multitude. Why could not this happen on Pentecost? And this be the next to the last Pentecost toward the end of the 3.5 years. We'll pick it up there next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.